John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, and I've entitled it New Life for You. Our church is called New Life Bible Presbyterian Church. And I pray and trust that those who enter into our doors to visit will leave here knowing what this new life is and how to receive this new life from God. That is our prayer, and that is as well our desire, that those who come will know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, earlier, Captain Ronnie Pang, the chairman of this service, mentioned the objectives of the Boys and the Girls Brigade. Very briefly, the Boys Brigade was founded by Sir William Alexander Smith, and you can see that in the news line as well, in 1883 in Glasgow, Scotland. That's a long time. But in Singapore, it started only in 1930, and this year, the Boys Brigade had just celebrated its 85th anniversary at the Singapore Expo. I'm sure you have read it in the news if you were not part of that meeting of over 6,000 people. The current president in Singapore of the Boys Brigade is Professor Ho Yu Ki. And currently, there are 700 officers, 6,300 boys in 116 companies in Singapore. Now, that's a brief on the Boys Brigade. I'm not so familiar with the history of the Girls Brigade, I have to be honest. But I learned it is founded in Singapore in 1927 and by a sweet lady called Mrs. Elsie Lin. All right, some of you girls should know her. So as you have heard earlier, that the Girls Brigade was founded with the purpose of training our girls to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the objective of the Boys Brigade is the advancement of Christ's kingdom among boys. But in order to achieve these objectives, girls and boys, you have to be, first of all, a member of God's kingdom, isn't it? In order to advance His kingdom, in order to serve and follow Jesus Christ. So this is what our message is all about. New life for you. The story begins in John chapter 3 of an encounter between a religious leader by the name of Nicodemus and Jesus Christ. And the greatest message on new life ever delivered by the Lord Jesus was addressed to this deeply religious person called Nicodemus. In the dialogue which followed between Christ and Nicodemus, Jesus indicated two conditions for the start of this new life. In order to have this new life, you must fulfill two conditions according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are, I'll quickly give it to you and then we'll come back to them. Firstly, there must be the sense of need. The sense of need. And secondly, there must be a step of faith. Sense of need, step of faith. That's the 2 points in the message today. So let's look at, in more detail, the sense of need. Now, Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus at night and he asked him this question. He says, "Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." In these words, we see that Nicodemus was admitting a threefold basic need that could only be met in Jesus Christ. What are these threefold basic needs of mankind? Well, firstly, we see that man is blind in sin. Man is blind in sin and therefore needs new life. Jesus said to him in John chapter 3, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This means that without new life, divine life, no one can see or understand the things that pertain to the spiritual realm. The word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 tells us that until the eyes of the heart of man are opened by the revealing power of the Holy Spirit, the natural man, you and I, cannot understand spiritual matters. We can only say, I cannot see it, I cannot comprehend it, or we may even feel that it is utter nonsense, because the natural man cannot understand the things that pertain to the spiritual realm. So that reaction is very natural and common. We also see in Nicodemus' condition a second basic need. Man is not only blind in sin and therefore needs new life. Secondly, we see that man is bound in sin and therefore needs new life. Again, Jesus said in verse 5, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So twice, he told Nicodemus, except you are born again, except you are born of water and of the Spirit. Now those two expressions are the same. Born of water and the Spirit has the same meaning as being born again. All right? We could elaborate more on that, but this morning I'm going to keep my message simple. All right? So we're not going to dwell on the explanation of these two phrases. So the Lord is telling Nicodemus that man is bound in sin and therefore needs new life. We see in John chapter 8, in the words of Jesus, he say, whosoever commits sin is a servant or slave to sin. So all of us who are born into this world are born bounded, blind in sin, bounded in sin. In fact, sin has so bound man in mind, heart, and will to his good works, self-righteousness, religious opinions, and fear of man that without life from God, he cannot break free from the bondage of sin to enter the kingdom of God. There are many kinds of bondage to sin. And I'm sure in our society today, although we are first world, we still see many of these bondages. Examples, addiction to gambling, addiction to stealing, addiction to pornography and sex, and many other forms of bondage to sin. So man is blind in sin, man is bound in sin, and thirdly, we see that man is born in sin and therefore needs new life. So why are we bound in sin? Why are we blinded by sin? It is because we are all born sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. So we are born with a sinful nature. And Jesus said in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the word flesh there represents our sinful nature. You see, that which is born of the flesh, Paul tells us, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So in our present physical condition, as well as spiritual condition, there is no way any one of us can see or enter into the kingdom of God. Something must happen to us. In fact, a miracle must take place in our hearts and in our lives. Because that which is begotten carries within it the nature of that which begets it. And that is an irrevocable law of life. Let me share an example with you. How many of you have pets at home? Now, I'm sure quite a number of you. Some of you are shy, all right, to show your hands. Some of you have cats as pets. Some of you have dogs as pets. Some of you have fishes, mouse. No, we don't call them mouse. What do you call those little things? Hamsters, that's right. I forgot the term, hamsters. My children used to keep hamsters, right? And there's so much trouble trying to clean up the cage. And finally, they died, and I was so happy. And I say, don't buy anymore, right? You don't know how to take care of them, so go and do something else. Don't keep hamsters. Anyway, I'm curious. Any one of you have a pig for a pet? Anyone? Now, I know in America they do, but in Singapore I don't think so, right? We are not so weird and crazy to keep a pig as a pet. Now, suppose you have a pig as a pet, right? And you wash the pig up, you bathe it, shower it, you even put clothing on the pig. And then you take the pig out for a walk. Okay? And as you walk along the path, you come across a puddle of muddy water because it just rained last night. Do you know what the pig will do? The pig won't say, oh, I better avoid the muddy water, right? I'm so clean up now, so well dressed. My master will be very unhappy. No, the pig will run and go straight and, you know, dive into that pool of muddy water. Why? Why? Because that is the nature of a pig, to be dirty and lazy. That's why sometimes your parents call you pigs, huh? Right? It's an analogy, right? When you're dirty, you don't clean up your rooms after you. Your bed sheets are not changed for a month. You know, you're like a pig, a pigsty in your room, isn't it? So that's the nature of a pig. So what's the nature of man? We have a sinful nature, and because we are born with a sinful nature, sin comes automatically. You don't have to teach a little child how to lie, how to beat someone, you know. In fact, in education, we are teaching them the opposite, isn't it? No parents train up a little toddler and say, lie to mommy, lie to daddy, right? You don't have to be taught. Why? Where do they learn to lie? It's in the nature of man. It comes easily, naturally, in all of us. Isn't it, boys and girls? Doesn't it come natural to you to lie to your teachers, lie to your parents, lie to one another? Because that is our nature. We are born in sin and therefore needs new life. And so Nicodemus, like every son of Adam, you and me, was born in sin. In spite of all his education, he was highly educated in the Jewish law. Religious refinements. And in consequence, Jesus tells him, because you are born in sin, bound by sin, blinded by sin, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Except you, Nicodemus, except you are born again, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus, firstly, need to sense his need for new life. Secondly, he must take the step of faith to receive this new life. Addressing this religious leader, Jesus declared in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So with those glorious words that contain the core of the gospel, the good news, Jesus emphasized that this new life is not merited or inherited by human means. Rather, it is the gift of God to be received by faith. Whosoever believes in him, by faith. Not of works. You cannot merit this new life. You cannot earn your way into heaven. It is a gift from God. And so for this to happen, there must be three things. And I would say this is a miraculous work of God. Firstly, the Spirit of God must produce this new life. In John 3, verse 8, Jesus told Nicodemus, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." We cannot see the wind, but we can feel its effect when it blows. The wind here symbolizes the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit must produce this new life. Because man, it is the sovereign power and prerogative of the Holy Spirit alone to produce this new life in those who are sensitive to his prompting. And this is why it is so serious when God speaks to your heart and you resist him. If you keep resisting him, one day the Holy Spirit will abandon you and leave you alone. And that will result in the damnation of your souls. Because God warns us, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." So the Holy Spirit must produce this new life, because it is not the work of man, and you and I cannot earn it. Secondly, the Savior must provide this new life. In verse 14 and 15, Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." What does Jesus mean by these words? Well, by reference to the Old Testament story in the book of Numbers, Jesus implies that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness to show God's answer of life to the sting of death for the Israelites that were bitten by poisonous snake, so by the lifting up of the Son of Man on the cross and in resurrection, God declared once and for all his answer to life, to the sentence of death which sin brings us, and of whom we come short of glory. So as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, those Israelites who were bitten by poisonous snake need to trust that what God says, that by looking at the lifted up serpent, the bronze serpent by Moses, they will be healed. In the same way, in order for us to have our sins forgiven and to receive eternal life, new life in Christ, we must take the step of faith and trust in the Savior who died for our sins on the cross and rose again on the third day. He died to pay the penalty of sin on our behalf. So the Savior must provide this new life, and Jesus Christ had. And this next month, we'll be celebrating Good Friday, commemorating the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for all mankind, because he's the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And on Easter Sunday, we will celebrate his resurrection from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. And we would like to invite you, you will see in your bulletin this morning, an invitation slip for our Holy Week program. All right, so I hope that this will not be the first and only time you visit New Life BP. Do come and join us any Sunday, 9:30 is our service, and for Holy Week, if you can, we would appreciate and we would welcome you, all right, to join our services. Thirdly, not only must the Holy Spirit produce this new life, the Savior must provide this new life. Thirdly, the sinner must possess this new life. Knowing that there is a cure, for example, for a terminal illness, will not help anyone who is terminally ill, unless the person take the step of faith to consume that prescription, isn't it? In the same way, spiritually, just to know the good news of Jesus' death on the cross for us and his resurrection will not help you, will not give you new life, unless you personally take the step of faith to receive it from God. And therefore, the Bible says in John 3:15, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The moment Christ is received by faith, the miracle of the new birth takes place. This is a work of God. And at once the sinner enjoys a new sight, a new liberty, and a new nature in Christ. This miracle of new birth, this new life, is not turning over a new leaf. It is a transformation. God giving a new nature to us in Christ. So the challenge this morning, dear friends and guests, is do you sense your need of new life in Christ? Do you realize that you are blind in sin, bound by sin, and born in sin? If you sense your need of new life in Christ, then emulate Nicodemus, who came to Jesus that night. Come to the Lord Jesus as he did, by faith, and you will live as he did, with new life. Yes, this new life is for everyone here. And I trust and pray that God will speak to your heart this morning, and that you will receive or accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Thank you.